Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, A-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it is a Taco Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A lot happening. A lot happening, and the trades are being made in the NFL. Like, today's the trade deadline. Jerry Jones is running his mouth. It is a cash it or trash it Tuesday. Astros are getting rid of Gary Pettis. So much is going on in the sports world and in the city of Houston. Jam-packed show. Hope you're along for the ride. You know who showed up at work today? It's been a while that we've seen this guy show up to work, but he is here today for the first time in quite some time.
Graham?
Bad parking, Brian McDonald.
Oh, bad parking.
Look at the eye roll. He didn't like it. He didn't like that
I brought that up. I literally had that thought when I got out of my truck.
He knew it was a bad parking.
No, I got out of my truck.
Guilty conscience.
I got out.
But if you have to ask, not guilty enough. If you have to ask the question, you know the answer.
Let me talk. When I got out of the truck, I literally had the thoughts like, I don't want to have Brandon come on the air and start talking about my parking. So I went around and checked, and I will 100% stand by Joel. You can be the judge when we step out. Okay. My parking is 100% fine.
Oh, no, sir.
Please enlighten me.
Well, you're at an angle, so you make it impossible for anybody to park in that spot next to you.
There's plenty of room. I'm right in the middle of the white
lines. You're at an angle. There's a post on the other side. That's enough of an angle to make that spot next to you impossible to park in.
It's not.
Impossible to park in.
There's a plenty of gap between me and the white line.
No one's going to bother. No one's going to bother trying to park in that spot because of the angle that you created.
Oh, my Lord.
Bad parking.
You are a parking queen.
Showed his face. And I've told you, I'm a roadblock for justice.
Now, are you between the lines?
Yes. Well within the white lines.
He's kind of hovering.
No, I'm not.
He's kind of hovering. See, now, his tire's between the lines. I will admit that.
With more than a foot, at least more than a foot of gap.
Drives a truck at an angle. I guess it's kind of the cab. But the side part of the cab above the tire is lingering in the air, surpassing the line.
No, it's not.
His tire's in the line.
No, it's not.
The cab part of the material is evading the space of the other one.
Joel, he's completely
lying to
you.
So it's not crossing the sideline, but it
is. With a tire, it's not.
Hovering on the
imaginary
line.
No part of my car is crossing the line.
Over the boundary.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, duly noted.
And the angle that it has created has made that spot utterly useless.
Just throw the crap out there to get clicks.
No part of that was true. No part of my truck is hovering
absolutely
over the line.
It's true.
I looked at it.
I monitored the situation. It was an embarrassment of a parking job. The angle. And the fact that you looked at it and you're like, this is borderline, admits guilt.
We're gonna have to go look at it after the show.
Jeremy might give you grief.
Exactly, that's funny.
But
that you
left
got that.
It.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because the angle. There was nothing. The angle. No part of my car is hanging over the line.
I don't know. And then the angle that it's created too. It's kind of like the slash in a web domain. Mm-hmm. It's the slash. Like his truck is parked like a slash. Mm. So try parking next to a truck in between a post and this slashing truck.
To get in,
truck.
And then your door radius is limited.
Oh, yeah, it's impossible to park in that
spot. I need Sean Mapes to take over the show so I can go take a picture right now.
Well, pictures have to be forthcoming now.
So literally, let's go down right after the show. I will show you without moving the truck.
Right. I did park in the spot next to it. To prove a point.
The only reason
I was able to park in it, though, is because I came from the back. Pause. I parked from the backside. The spot behind it was open, so I was able to pull in. But there's no way you could park in that spot if you're pulling in the normal
from
way.
From the rear?
No, false. You can park from the rear. You can't park from the front. But the spot behind it was open, so I parked next to it. You know why I parked next to it? Because whenever I pull my truck out, and I'm parked going forward, too. Keep that in mind. Whenever I pull out, I'm going to have to go at this extreme angle because of the bad parking by Brian
you were
McDonald.
So soft.
I'm not soft. I'm just exposing your bad parking job.
If I was soft, I wouldn't have parked there and showed my toughness. The show.
There's no vindication. I describe that as accurately as possible. I mean, I describe things accurately for
Brian,
a living.
This all kind of just comes back to the fact that you knew this was coming.
Oh, no. I know he's trying to rile me up.
He's trying to rile me up, and it worked.
I'm not doing it to rile you up.
I'm doing it to explain this.
Yes.
Yeah. I literally stepped on my truck. I was like, you know what? Because the last time I parked here, Jeremy gave me crap for it. Let me check, see if I'm within. I checked all sides. Well, one side of me is the aisle. There's no parking on the right side of the truck. And so I checked the other two, and I'm all the way up against the white line to where I'm not hanging out on the back end. And on the left side, I've got at least a foot of room.
Disagree. Maybe whenever you opened your door, you had a foot of room. But the back of your truck does not have a foot of room.
There was a car there when I parked.
Really?
I think Jeremy's already thrown the red challenge flag, and you're not inside of 2 minutes. So.
I'm an advocate.
You'll be the judge after the show.
I'm an advocate for justice and a voice of the voices.
Yeah. I thought I'd bring CM Punk up.
If I'm the Jets, I'm actually feeling pretty good about things. In the trade that happened today makes me feel a little bit better. But I had this thought even leaving that game yesterday. Jets fans are losing their mind after losing that game, and rightfully so.
Like the Red Weasel.
I listened to about 45 seconds, and he was not happy. But and rightfully so. Like your kicker, Lance Zierlein missed a couple of kicks that would have helped your cause. There was a lot of things that could have happened in that game that you could have easily won. The officials were bad, but the officials were bad both ways. I don't think there was one team that had a clear-cut advantage over the other when it came to the officials, because both sides were done wrong by the officials at different times of that game. But if I'm the Jets, I'm leaving that feeling pretty good about myself. Like, yeah, I'm 2-4. Don't love that. Yeah, I'm two games back in the division. Don't love that, but the bottom of the AFC is wide open. Like 5 through 7 in the AFC, I think is wide open. The Jets have a favorable schedule coming up. Like, I think they can rattle off 4 of their 5 wins. I looked at their schedule today. I think they can get to 10 wins.
They can. 7 of the next 9 are doable for this
doable
team right
now. There's no margin for error. Like, you can't lose games that you're going to be favored in. Like that. That's if you lose 2 games that you're favored in, their season's done. But they played pretty well. The defense was still fine despite losing Saleh, which isn't too big of a surprise because Oldenbrick was the play caller defensively anyways. I thought the offense looked much better than it did under Nathaniel Hackett. If I'm a Jet fan, yes, I'm unhappy that you lose the game, but I'm feeling somewhat confident for my team and way more confident than I should feel about a 2-4 football team.
Yeah, I think the way I looked at it is, and by the way, if that's your stadium, how do you not figure out that something needs to be done in the fact that that wind was swirling at such a pace that neither team could make a field goal. But at the same time, maybe that was for first place in the division, but there's still a legit chance for you to be a playoff team. There is a road where it's not over because of last night, but your offensive line ain't great. And I think that as much as you tried to do something to once again appease the princess and do something to help your offense, what would really help your offense, as we've been talking all year long, and we've been talking about the offensive line and how it directly affects so many different things, that between the penalties and the continuity, it has to change. They have to address that at some point, too. But they made a move to make them even better. If I'm Mike Williams, I might be looking to be renting somewhere else real soon, too.
They said they were shopping them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because at the same time, you bring in Devontae Adams, and you already have a premier Garrett Wilson, and it's basically telling you, my days are numbered here. And then your quarterback calls you out in the postgame press conference. But overall, there's just too much talent on that team to say, well, they lost last night, they're done.
I kind of like their chances. It's crazy to feel that way after they fall 2-4 and they're in New York, and I don't love New York teams. I do feel like Mike Williams is getting way too much blame today. Like, the Jets fans are blasting Mike Williams for slipping on their awful turf. He slipped! Like, what do you want him to do? He slipped on an awful, awful turf.
Here's the thing, and I don't care about the route at that point, because Aaron saw the route that he did choose to take, and he knew that if he put something on that football, that he could get it there. And I don't think he put enough on the throw either. I think that regardless of what the route he was supposed to take was, he took a route in which he was open if Aaron kind of pushes through that football and gets something on it. And the fact that he slipped coming back to a football that what he could tell was not coming to him, where he normally catches the football, I think they both shoulder blame there.
I think it's more on Rodgers.
For sure.
I don't put much blame on a receiver when they slip. I can't do that.
Because at the same time, the adjustment was made. Whether he was supposed to take this red route or whatever it was, he took a route in which there was a seam open to him. He was open at the time that Aaron was, you know, delivering the football. And if Aaron throws the proper pass, I don't think we're talking about this, because I think that if the ball gets up, you know, a little bit above the waist and shoulder level, that's a catchable football.
Yeah, that to me is all the blame. Like, and I almost feel bad for Mike Williams. Mike Williams is being crucified for slipping on a route that was severely underthrown, and then now he's not going to be a New York Jet for very much longer
because he was trying to react quickly to a ball he knew wasn't going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't put much blame on Williams. This texter saying that I had a slip whenever I mentioned Lance. They're like, no, I did that intentionally.
Yeah.
Lance was sending out a tweet yesterday saying that my name is spelled differently than Zuerlein with a U. That was intentional. You have to be on your toes. A lot of subtle references here on the Killer Bees. All right, 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people want to get an idea of parking gates. The parking gate that happened. And let's keep in mind that BMAC is a habitual bad parker. This is the third case.
Untrue.
Third case in the calendar year.
No, I tweeted out pictures the last time you brought this up, and I was fully inside the lines that time, too.
You were not.
I took the pictures. I tweeted them
you
out.
You were not. What's the word I'm looking for?
Wrong? You're right. I was not wrong.
I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's just not there. Forthright's not the word. It starts with a V.
Vindicated?
Yeah, you weren't vindicated.
I mean, I tweeted out the pictures. It's there for the internet to see.
Being between the lines doesn't mean that you make the spot next to you impossible to park in, by the way. Because you have overhang. You drive a truck.
Sure. Yeah. I am far more confident in this one than the last one, but...
in that lane. In that spot. 7230, Branham is the type of student that would remind the teacher she forgot to pick up the homework at the end of class. What is that, huh? I don't think I'm that guy.
I think they're calling you nerd.
And narc.
Wouldn't be the first time
a narc. Yeah.
I'm definitely a narc. I believe in justice.
Would you call on the teenagers across the street for having a party too loud?
I wouldn't call. I would go door to door. I would go face to face with the man. It actually happened to me not that long ago. It wasn't a party. But Branham baby was like 2 months old and sleeping, and it was like 10:30 at night. Just, I mean, pretty new to the world. And there was kids like 11 or 12 years old that came and like just were banging on the door really, really loud. And we knew where it was coming from, so I went across the street, knocked on the door, was like, hey, we have a two-month-old. Could you please stop?
I think that's fair.
Was I within my rights there? I wouldn't call the cops. That's kind of
lame. No, if they banged on your door, that's
they banged,
fair.
Not twice.
Yeah.
Not once. Twice.
Oh, is your door? They're banging on your door?
Oh, they were like, instead of like doing the egging, they were, what's that?
No, I think that's a thing. I've seen.
Like ding-dong itch?
Yeah, it's like a TikTok thing.
Those videos
like
pop up on ring doorbell things
all the time.
They run to the
door and they slam it, and then they run off, and it's like, ha, 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 we startled them.
It's the modern version of ding-dong ditch.
Yeah, exactly. And we had a two-month-old. Brandon baby was 2 months old, so I went across the street, and I said, hey, tough guy, from another tough guy, could you please have them stop? And they stopped because you know they were a little worried about what Branham might do. Yeah, a little worried about what Branham might do. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Do you think the Jets are in an okay spot? But how about the NFL going nuts today? Two receivers, two big-name wide receivers being traded today. What does this mean for both sides? I think there's a Houston angle here. And then Jerry Jones went nuts to some radio host in Dallas. It is the B, 713-780-ESPN, busy show. Will Anderson, he continues to do good things. Gary Pettis gone, cash him or trash him. So much to get to on a Tuesday edition of the B. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sacked by BMAC, should be Bad Parking by BMAC, and I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the B's on ESPN975. ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A Colt fan. Just texting, and I've been laying low, Killer Bees, but I still believe the Colts win. That was impressive, Brian.
Well done,
Brian. As bad as your parking is, that was very good dropping. That was well done. You had that on ready to go. He's on fire now. Back-to-backs. Colt fan, I think you're wrong. Who's leading your team to that division championship, by the way, Colt fan?
Joey.
Is it Joe Flacco or is it Anthony Richardson? It might be both.
They said Richardson is supposed to play unless he has a setback this week.
Well, the odds of that are high.
I don't know. I don't know if the Colts want him to come back, but
no, there were some bad throws that Flacco had in that game, though. I saw some people posting some highlights of some of his deep throws where he was severely underthrowing like three or four of them.
Seemed like a
duck. I didn't see the pick. Was it a bad throw?
Be fair, that touchdown to Pittman, he was thrown backwards or falling backwards off his back foot, just kind of lobbed it to the middle of the end zone, and Pittman bailed him out.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said for that. Not a good throw, but it's like, hey, give my receiver a chance. I do think that at times, like, young quarterbacks don't do that as much. Maybe it's ball protection or whatever. But at some point, it's like, hey, I trust my guy one-on-one, just throw it up there. I don't know. If I'm Steichen, I got to go with Richardson. I mean, you spin a very high draft pick on him. I would play Richardson. I would.
I just think that from what I've seen, there's still going to be a time that Richardson's going to be, and he's going to be your franchise quarterback. But because of the fact that you can also just kind of blame it on being still not completely healthy, Flacco just seems like he gets a lot more points on the board and a lot better results right now than Richardson does.
That's really inarguable. He is doing that. So I would play the young kid. I feel like their ceiling is limited with Joe Flacco, although their defense is a mess. That's probably a bigger conversation in terms of their chances to win the division.
Think about week one. We thought, hey, their defense is better than average. It's pretty decent. And then the Texans just ran right through them. And you thought, well, that's impressive on the Texans' part. It also got blemished by the fact that since then it looks like the Colts defense sucks.
It does. Davante Adams traded today. Davante Adams was in New York 3 minutes after he was traded, which is really weird. He was in the facility literally minutes after he was traded. He popped up behind Aaron Rodgers on McAfee a couple of hours afterwards. But the trade, the Jets send a conditional third-round pick to Vegas. It can turn into a second-round pick depending on performance bonuses or the performance of Davante Adams. It's a conditional third that can turn into a second. That's it. That's the trade. Now, the Jets are picking up the entirety of the salary. To me, it makes sense both ways. Like, Davante Adams doesn't want to be in Vegas. Okay, if you get to that point, you might as well trade him for as much as you can get. A conditional third that can turn into a second is more than I thought they would get. And then on top of that, you're completely out of the contract just like that. So I think the Vegas got the better end of the trade. Now, if I'm the Jets, I'm also making this trade because you're in, like, win-now mode. You're super desperate. This is a move of desperation, but it's a move that I think that you had to do. So I like it from both sides, but I favor the Raiders side of it.
Yeah, from the Raiders standpoint right now, because you need a quarterback too, it's basically embrace the suck part two. It's the fact that you got your coach and Antonio Pierce, you didn't know like how long they're going to stick with him and is a first time coach and all these things. But there was the way they finished the year last year, the thought that, hey, we're going to just pick up where we left off and we're going to be a really good football team. And you found out very quickly that's not the case. Now you can kind of reshuffle the deck and go, okay, well, we need a top 10 type pick to get any kind of young quarterback to try and really start a rebuild over again. We traded off a guy that we don't have to pay anything to, regardless of what that pick amounts to. You're going to end up with another pick to add to what you have that are all probably going to be pretty good picks if you embrace the suck. And then you continue to roll on. Max Crosby's going to be a real interesting thing now because of the fact that as much as, you know, he said, I tattooed the Raiders on me and I bleed Raiders. At the same time, Max Crosby could probably get you a pretty good haul a la Detroit Lions right now and other teams that need a defensive player, to say he could bring you even more to where you could possibly turn this thing around pretty quickly or get it going if you make the right move.
Yeah, I'd trade him too. I would tear it all down. Max Crosby was pushing his position coach the other day too. People lost their mind on social media.
I didn't see that.
It was just a little Max Crosby on Twitter said, that's my guy, I love him. That's just like a little love push, which I actually believe. Like, it wasn't this, like, he's not punching his position coach. I do believe Max Crosby, and Crosby's saying all the right things. And then a couple hours later, Amari Cooper gets traded to Buffalo, which, okay, it makes some sense for Buffalo. Now, it kind of proves again how much they hate Stephon Diggs, or a quarterback that might hate Stephon Diggs. They take over a $30 million dead cap to trade Stephon Diggs away, and then 6 weeks into the year, you're trading for another receiver.
Yeah, to me, I had said a week or so ago, I thought as much as they were saying all the quote-unquote right things, I thought Buffalo was going to go out and be active in the market. I thought they needed a wide receiver one. It is because of the things you said, egg on their face in a lot of ways of saying, hey, maybe there was more to this Stephon Diggs thing than we were willing to admit. But at the same time, in order to be successful, and over the last 3 weeks, they have looked anything but a contender after the way they started. But we need help at the wide receiver position, and they identified a team that is just going nowhere, that had a guy that now the smart thing here is if you can lock him up on a deal for another couple of years, I think it's up at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's on his final year.
You got to, if you can keep him now the way you didn't keep your other guy, I think that that's a guy that they desperately need, and they saw a team in their own division that they saw firsthand last night make a move, no matter how desperate it was, and say, okay, now's the time before the market heats up, before another good player can go off the deck. We're going to go get somebody.
And if you're the Browns, like, yeah, Amari's in the final year of his deal. You have a quarterback that can't throw the ball anyway, so what's the point of having Amari Cooper? I think the Browns are going to go into rebuild mode too, because they realize that they can't win with Deshaun. They realize they can't cut Deshaun because of the contract. I think they're going to tear it down and start the rebuild and just have Deshaun Watson as the only guy making any money on that football team.
I think it's going to be interesting what happens with a guy like Myles Garrett, because, yep. I mean, that's the franchise on defense that is the face of your franchise in so many ways. And there's a guy that's going to be highly coveted, but if that's truly what you're doing and you're in extreme cash overpay for Deshaun Watson already, that's one that, again, that should make the market pretty dicey in terms of, I'm sure they're going to take some calls. It's going to be a tough call for them to make because Deshaun can't hold a candle to be the face of the franchise the way he's playing. And Myles Garrett has done everything you've had. He's like Joe Thomas-esque in what he means to that franchise.
Yeah, they might move on from Garrett, too. Or he is under contract through 28, so maybe he's just one of the dudes that you keep around. But I think the Browns realize the situation that they're in. They'll never admit it.
Right.
But they realize they can't cut Deshaun Watson. They realize that Deshaun Watson's untradeable. They realize that he's unbenchable. You have to play him. He's terrible. You're not winning any football games. I think they see the writing on the wall. I think that this is the first step of what is going to be a multi-year rebuild and just trying to wait out the clock and run out the clock with Deshaun Watson.
I also think, similar to the Raiders situation, the first thing that you start the process going the right direction is you admit you have a problem and admit that you're not as good as you thought you were going to be. And because your quarterback sucks and because you can't bench him, then you need to embrace the suck part three and be the team that says, now all we can possibly do to show the world that it might be just Deshaun is put everything we possibly can around him, but do it from getting a whole bunch of assets and draft picks, do it to try and reduce the bottom line, and then try and restart and rebuild around him to see what we can do.
See, I think they're going to rebuild around him, but then the moment they can get out of his contract, they'll cut bait and then find a real quarterback. Nick Chubb's the one that I'm intrigued by, because Chubb's also in the final year of his deal, and they're expecting him to potentially play this week. So, and there's still a few weeks left before the trade deadline. Trade deadline's not until early November.
It's election day.
I think that's right. Yeah. So if Nick Chubb, if he shows that he's still productive in the next 3 weeks, I think he's the next guy that gets moved.
Yeah, I think that it's going to, the tougher call is going to be a guy like Myles Garrett, but you have pieces that a lot of teams, they're going to look at their secondary because they've spent a lot of draft capital over the years on their secondary. They're going to look and see that there are some key pieces on that squad that could help a lot of teams in this league. I think the Jets will look at their offensive line just to see if there's any kind of lineman that they might be able to get that upgrades what they currently have, because you got two teams going in totally different directions, and that makes the best trade partner. I think the Browns are going to have a fire sale.
I do too. I think that they are admitting, not publicly, but I think they're already admitting that they're embracing the suck. I think this is the first step of that. All right, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones today went on 105.3 The Fan, which is the flagship. I actually like that Jerry Jones is so public. I like that he does a little impromptu press conference after each game just outside the locker room. I love that he goes on the radio each and every week. Not that I think it is a good thing for the organization. I think it's a bad thing for the organization, but it's very entertaining to me. He was threatening to fire the host today in his media appearance or his radio appearance.
Jerry, I think the counter back when you said, where are you going to get the players? You can't get them this week is, and you're aware of all the off-season topics.
But what is your counter? What is your damn counter?
My counter is...
I really want to know where you would go get it. Now, don't tell me about should gotten a guy in the off-season.
Why not?
This isn't a damn word argument just because I'm not arguing with you. I'm dealing with how we line up against San Francisco, not what I did wrong last week or last month or 2 months ago or 2 years ago. If I really gave you guys a list of all the things I've done wrong over the last few years, you couldn't be on this program for the next 5 years steady and go over it. But every now and then you do some right things, and at the end of the day you add it up, and the rights give you a better spot than the wrongs. But if you think for any minute right now, there'll be one Super Bowl champion. What'd the others do wrong? There's one Super Bowl champion. Now, we want to be that champion. And I'm sure not throwing the towel in today because of what happened out there Sunday. But I'm not going to sit here and waste a lot of energy, a lot of time. Let's talk about what I should have done back in 1907 or 2017.
1907.
Come on. Come on. I've got more time than that, and I actually don't even have time on this great show for looking back at decisions.
Okay. So, Jerry, 1970, a little different from this past off season in building the team we're talking about today, which there was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out be accurate?
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
There you go. Jerry Jones threatens to fire hosts on his own radio station. I guess the flagship. He doesn't own it, but the flagship.
I thought he does.
I don't think he owns them out. I don't know. I would assume that he
technically doesn't, he could get that guy fired.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, look, I was the hometown hitman. I mean, the home team hitman for years with the Rocket stuff like this. It's a tough situation to be in because they are doing their job. They did nothing wrong. And when you get a guy like that on your show that everybody wants to know what's really going on and what really went behind what you did or didn't do right or wrong in a situation – it's tough because the flagship is supposed to follow, mind their P's and Q's. They're not supposed to be the ones that rock the boat. But they're the only station that's going to get Jerry Jones on the air. And this was complete and utter BS from Jerry Jones because of the fact that then just do what we've seen happen so many times with so many situations. Then just don't go on the show.
Yeah.
Then don't do the interview and say, guys, I got owners. You got an excuse. I got the owners meetings today. I can't do the show this week. But if you're going to go on and then you're going to act like that and all you want to do is be praised when everybody, you just got your doors blown off and you went and said you were in go for it mode and didn't go for it, you got to answer at a certain point.
Yeah, he was. I mean, this really just came off as a giant ramble. You could kind of figure that it was coming, like a Jerry Jones blow up after you get beat, you know, your brakes got beat off you at home. So you knew at some point Jerry Jones was going to lose his lid. Mm-hmm. So he was rambling, losing his lid. He's asking the host, like, what is your purpose? And then as soon as he answers, oh, I'm going to talk over you. So didn't even let him answer the question. And he also said the part about listeners listening to me. I don't want the listeners listening to me. Why are you going on the radio then? Why are you doing press conferences then? Why are you doing that stuff if you don't want the listeners listening to you? So I find it to be highly entertaining. I understand Jerry Jones' perspective. I'd like to think I wouldn't behave that way, but he doesn't care. I mean, he's 80-something years old. He has FU money.
82.
He's got FU attitude. Like, he's going to do what he wants to do.
This is rich people can do these kind of things when they literally control the narrative. At this point, at this level. And you're right. I mean, he has to answer, but he doesn't want to. But yet he'll still walk down after the game to the front doors of the locker room and be the first voice that anybody hears about the Dallas Cowboys. But he doesn't, you know, you can't dictate what the press is going to ask you. You can only dictate. Look, when Daryl Morey fired Kevin McHale one morning, the one thing that we did was we just called the station and said, Daryl's not doing his show this afternoon. Because we knew that if he did the show, they have to do their job. So you have to be able to control that before you, because you can't control your owner. He's going to do exactly this. He's going to do whatever he wants, and you can't control it.
0365, Jerry sounded like Biden. 4992, Jones has dementia. Yeah, I wouldn't be very happy if I were a Cowboy fan. But because I'm not a Cowboy fan and I don't like Arlington, this is highly entertaining for me. It's watching the car wreck.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's unfair from a listener's perspective that you have expectations when you have a guy like that on after a debacle like they had Sunday. But it's also from the standpoint of the owner, they feel like they can do whatever the hell they want. And so to hold their jobs over their head for them doing their job is absolutely ridiculous. And I hope he's already started to get called out on the carpet for this, but I hope it continues because you just can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, he can.
It's not right.
It's not right. It's bully behavior, but he absolutely can do it.
He can, but there's what guys like him don't seem to understand, there's no win here for him.
No.
There's no win here. Obviously, the station gets ratings. The hosts where people had never heard from him or heard of him nationally are now coming to his aid and talking about him. So now they've got a higher profile when they want to chase the next job. Everybody wins except for Jerry.
The only win that he would have would be self-gratification.
Yeah.
Where he fires someone who scorned
right,
him.
Right, the FU money.
Yeah. It would be self-gratification. Does he win in the long haul? No. Is he going to win the court of public opinion? No. But those are all things he doesn't care about. 8693, Jerry super old, lost touch with reality with a very short fuse. This guy says every 10th word he says doesn't make sense. That is true. Geriatric Jones. That's a good name. I like that name.
That is good.
Yeah, I'm happy it's not my team. I'm happy it's not my team, but I am enjoying the entertainment of one Jerry Jones.
Never.
Yeah, we have this quit. Guy. This guy's a major upgrade over what they have in Arlington. Upgrade.
Never.
How long has it been since we might have questioned that decision?
Listen
and now
to that
it's,
attitude, though.
It's unequivocally Cal way over Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones is over here yelling at radio hosts and threatening to fire him, and we have Cal McNair that just refuses to give up.
Never quit.
Refuses to give
flip
up.
Flip burgers and flip him the H.
He will not submit. He will not give up.
Never surrender.
Never surrender. Burn the ships. Cal McNair, he's a role model for us all. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Has Will Anderson lived up to expectations? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Jerry Jones is an owner with no rings after Jimmy. He thought he could run a team, and he has run it into the ground. Absolutely childish behavior by Jerry. Sincerely hope the hosts don't lose their jobs, but it is incredibly entertaining. Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose their job. I don't think that they will.
I don't think now he can do that. Even if he had thoughts of it, now that it's become this public and basically everybody is pointing the finger at him, I think he would embarrass himself even further if he tried to get rid of him.
I feel like they're safer now that he said it publicly, really. Yeah, like I think their job security increased after he said it publicly and then he's been crushed on social.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have had him fired behind the scenes and then just denied the reason why. Mm-hmm. And they could have given him some lie about, you know, and we wanted to go a different direction.
One of the hosts is already out on Twitter giving his side of it and then the station's playing it again. So I think that's exactly what they're doing is they're now using it to say, hey, they're trying to defend the fact that even though we're the flagship, we can say what we want. But he wouldn't be doing that if Jerry was already calling the PD.
It's so funny. All right. Has Will Anderson lived up to expectations? 713-780-ESPN. What do you all say?
I think he has. I think that, you know, if you had grandiose expectations, you probably were the people that thought that after Jeremy Peña won the league championship MVP and the World Series MVP, that that's just who he was going to be the rest of his career. I think that you have to be realistic in the fact that Will Anderson, you made the trade, so there's a lot more expectations that come with it. But he won the Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. He basically proved to you that you got one of the best players in the draft, and he lived up to expectations. Now, this year, We were critical early on. If you want to go, how are you judging him? Like a game-by-game sample size says, were you expecting more early on? Sure. He did a whole hell of a lot to basically help you win that game last weekend, and now we've got to see where we go from here because he's suddenly back in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, after a monster game. Yes, it was the Patriots. Yes, you could say that was one game against a bad team. How does he go from here? And that's fair. But I think that if you want to continue to look at how you're going to grade Will Anderson, now let's let this thing play out for year two. If he ends up having a season similar to year one, I think he lives up to expectations. He should live up to expectations for everybody.
Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is kind of similar to the conversations, not we specifically, but we would have about Jadeveon Clowney. Like, oh, well, he's not getting the sack numbers, but he's great against the run. The difference is, though, Will Anderson, even when he's not getting the sacks, as evidenced by some of the nerd stats like pass rush win rate, I have to say very slowly. I mean, he ranks higher in that stat than T.J. Watt and guys like Nick Bosa. He's winning even when he's not getting the sacks, so it becomes kind of a... Is sacks the only thing that matters conversation? And I certainly get, you know, some of the points you've made in the past where, you know, comparing a double to a home run, the pressure versus the sack, and it's certainly fair. But to me, I want a guy that I know is going to impact most plays, make the quarterback uncomfortable, and change the game. And he's doing that. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year. And right now he's, I think, third in the odds board for Defensive Player of the Year. So to me, he certainly lived up to the expectation.
I feel like Dusty Baker when we talk about football analytics, like pass rush, win rate, give me exit hits, like Dusty Baker famously said whenever asked about exit velocity. But my answer to the question is yes. Like I do think that Will Anderson has lived up to expectations. I think Will Anderson's a heck of a football player. I think he's really good. Do I think he's in the upper echelon of defensive ends currently? Probably not. Like I have a difficult time putting him in the conversation of T.J. Watt right now. Aiden Hutchinson before he shattered his leg in half. Right now. But I think Anderson's in that next tier. I think he's in the second tier defensive ends, and that's a perfectly fine place to be in year two of your NFL career. He's not an established veteran. He hadn't been around for 3, 4, 5 years. But yeah, I think Will Anderson has absolutely matched expectations. Yes, I'd rather have sacks than pass rush win rate, but there are other ways that you can impact the game. If you get a quarterback hurry and it leads to an interception, that is impacting the game. Will Anderson, I thought Will Anderson's best play on Sunday against the Patriots was not a sack. I thought it was the one where they were setting up the screen. Lyman tries to block his legs out from under him, keeps his feet, gets a paw on the ball. It's up in the air and it gets intercepted. So yes, there are other things than sacks that matter. But would I rather have a sack versus not have a sack? I'd rather have the sack. And I also think it's fair. Like, people still, oh, well, Will Anderson's great. He had a great game. I can't believe people bring up the trade. The trade is forever going to exist when it comes to Will Anderson. It is part of his history for better or for worse. Look at Herschel Walker. Like, look at Herschel Walker. Whenever we talk about Herschel Walker, what is something that always gets brought up? The trade, the draft day trade for Herschel Walker. And quite honestly, it should be a compliment. It should be a compliment that some people, and you know, not all, but I would say actually a majority, are saying they'd rather have Will Anderson than what could have been over here. But it's okay to have that conversation. You could be happy with Will Anderson. He could be hitting expectations. He could be a really stinking good player. And then the trade that you gave up for him could also be a lot. But that's a compliment. That's a compliment. Right. You're not trading a lot for bums. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's also, to your point, it's like you're looking at the standpoint of Deshaun Watson. Yes, he got paid a lot of money, but he also was involved in a trade where a whole lot was given up to get a guy that's supposed to live up to billing, and he's not living up to it. So that's part of the reason why people are so hypercritical. That's part of the reason why people pay more attention to a trade. A trade like this is the same way. Like, what did you give up to get to a player that is supposed to be of a certain caliber? If you'd have drafted him and he was like Tony Mandarich or he was a high draft pick that never panned out, you're like, well, damn, that sucks. And this is awful. And on top of it, we gave up those picks that turned into those players. But it's a fun, more entertaining conversation to have when we bring it up like we did last week to say, are you still happy that you made the trade that you got Will Anderson, but you could have had Laporta and you could have had Gibbs or players of that ilk? It's a good discussion to have because Will Anderson is still playing at a level in which it's a good conversation where you could see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, and it's also kind of cheating, too, whenever you mention the other half of the trade and you nitpick the very best players that could have been drafted in that spot. I think it is probably more accurate if you try to anticipate what the Texans would have done, because the Texans aren't picking Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round.
Right.
Maybe they would have drafted Laporta.
I don't know.
Yeah, they'd already brought in Schultz. Yeah. I don't know. Was Schultz pick up before the draft or after?
Yeah, no, he was a free agent move, so he was before the draft.
I couldn't remember if it was late free agency, though.
Well, I mean, the draft was late April, so he was certainly before then.
I mean, there's free agency moves after
the draft. Yeah, he was signed before that,
though. Yeah, so he was already picked up, so you're probably not even in the market.
And they obviously would have taken Will Levis at 32.
No, well, but...
Well, you already had Stroud.
You already had Stroud.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They would, like, when we're talking about the actual picks...
I thought you said would have.
No, no, no.
Were they in the market for secondary even then?
Probably. I mean, you drafted Lasseter the next year.
Right.
You know? So probably maybe we would have went secondary.
Yeah, if there was – but again
– I still think you're probably going edge rusher. Like, if you don't make the trade up to 13, who's the guy the Packers took?
Van Ness.
Like, that was probably Lucas the pick at 12. Like, we say Gibbs would have been the pick because he was the pick at 12, but the Texans are probably going Van Ness because they needed an edge rusher, and I don't think they value first-round running backs.
Yeah, it wasn't secondary. The main focus was could you get pass rush, and so they probably still – they were looking defense, and that's – but they, you know, whether they took Will Anderson or not, they were going to get a defensive pass rusher somewhere in the first round.
It is also fair to say they gave up a lot for Will Anderson, like because they did. They gave up a lot for Will Anderson. That is not a myth. That is not a take. That is not a theory. They gave up a quarterback ransom to move up to number three to select Will Anderson. And when you do that, you better hit on the guy. I think that they have. I do think that they've hit on Will Anderson. And if I. You know, if we hindsight 2020, let's eliminate the, well, this is the best player at that pick that the Texans surrendered, and instead go with who you think the Texans would have picked in those spots, I'd rather have Will Anderson in the package.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, because the team needs are different, and who they were identifying is different. And then, look, let's also think back to the fact that at that time, I was highly critical of the fact that they gave up their own pick instead of the air, you know, in that deal, thinking that they were going to embrace the suck and that they were going to be so bad that that pick was so valuable. And the way the season played out, you actually had a great season, played very, very well, made the playoffs, and that pick was okay being a part of that deal. So the variables change, and they're moving pieces to every deal. It's just that it's easy to say the two best players that could have been had were Laporta and Gibbs, and yeah, they still would have been great in Texans uniforms, but I agree. They wouldn't. I don't think the Texans would have taken either guy.
You still would have had a first-rounder this year, too. So, like, that's the second part of it. You would have had 12-32 in the late first-rounder this year. I think it was, what, 26, 27, somewhere in that range. I also think expectations relative, though. Like, the word expectation is kind of, I think that it's different for each person. For me, it's, are you getting a good player? Like, I expected whenever they traded up for Will Anderson for him to be a good football player. Do I think he's a good football player? Yes. Some people, whenever the Texans made that trade, they were like, well, he needs to be the best defensive end in all the NFL. That might be their expectation. That's why expectations relative, especially when you're talking about Will Anderson. I don't think Will Anderson's the best defensive end in the NFL.
No, but the key
I think
is
he's top 10.
The question would be when,
fair.
Right? Because I think
does
that
he
you
reach
could say,
there? Yeah.
Yeah, he might not be the best defensive player in the NFL in his first 2-3 years in the league because there's some established guys in their prime. But at some point in his career, does he become the best defensive player in the league or one of them? Yeah. Well, then I think you got the right guy.
5916, if the Texans have picked Anderson at 2 and traded up for Stroud at number 3, people would be over the moon at the trade. See, I don't like that take. Like, to me, that is some serious gatekeeping / goalpost moving. Like, you had the option of who you wanted. Maybe you wanted both. That's fine. And if you wanted both, then Nick Caserio made the right play by going Stroud at number 2. But where I push back on that is you still gave up a quarterback package to move up to number 3. Like that's probably the trade, even if you move up for Stroud. So I don't know if it was that calculated genius that everybody makes it out to be. Because if you go compare it to the Trey Lance trade, it's very similar. It's very similar to what San Francisco traded up to number 3 as to what the Texans traded up to number 3. So I don't think it had – yes, it's obvious you take Stroud at 2, Anderson at 3, but I don't think that it saved Nick Caserio draft picks.
No, and I think that was the kicker. The kicker would be that if you were being somewhat strategic and saying, I don't want to give a quarterback ransom, so I'm going to take the quarterback – then you end up making the trade and you don't have to give up a quarterback's ransom. But what you gave up was enough and significant enough to say they were going to make this trade. No, they didn't care who you were taking with the pick. Obviously, if they were picking, it would make some sense to them. But they had their price. We saw that when they talked on the phone. And they basically said, this is what we want. This is what we got to have. Are you in or out, period? Otherwise, let's move on.
And we also forget that Anthony Richardson went at number 4. Like, Arizona was not trading that pick unless they got a quarterback ransom. So, like, I don't think that it saved the Texans draft picks. Now, hindsight 2020, am I happy about the trade now? I am. I like what Will Anderson has done. I think it's fair to talk about what could have been. And I certainly didn't like it on draft day. I didn't think it was going to be a very good trade, and I'm glad that I'm eating crow on that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What's better? What's better, the Texans offense or the Texans defense? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. Been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. He and his team, great team over there. Chris Fisher, all the people at HRMP are fantastic. And HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services for you. This includes HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. Call up HRMP so they can help you out one of those things or all of those things. HRP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. Nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You're not reading off a menu. You need a little help, they got you. You need a lot of help, HRP's got you. They're going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always a quick response, very easy to understand. I'm thankful that we use HRP here at Gal Media. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Spend your time where you want to spend time and allow HRP to help you do that. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What's better, the Texans offense or the Texans defense? 713-780-ESPN. What do you think, Blankers?
Well, I think we need to see more of the offense because I think to this point in time in the season, you have to say the defense. We just got done talking about Will Anderson and the fact that he completely kind of just hijacked a football game with the way he played this weekend. And yes, it was great to have Joe Mixon back, but since opening day, we haven't had Joe Mixon in the lineup, and you lost Nico Collins. I think their calling card all season long to this point has been the defense, and I think right now, if I had to call that, I'd say the defense is better than the offense. You're going to get DeNico Autry in the lineup hopefully this week, and that, you know, that's a guy you want to see how he's going to fit as well. The linebacker core is obviously a little bit shaky, but overall, you're still not right on offense. Even if Mixon plays and continues to play well, you got to try and, you know, hold the fort for Nico. I'd say to this point, it's the defense.
If you look at the traditional numbers, it's kind of close. The offense is sixth in yards per game in the NFL, but they're 14th in points per game. So their yards are way ahead of their points that they're actually scoring. And then you look at it from a defensive perspective, it's still kind of the same. They're third in the NFL in defense in yards per game allowed, but they're 16th in points per game allowed. I think that the Minnesota game probably skews that a good amount, but it is what it is. I would lean defense. I'm a DVOA kind of guy. The Texans' offense is ranked 17th in DVOA, which is right smack dab in the middle of the NFL. Their defensive DVOA is as high as number two. So their defense has been, I think, has outplayed their offense. I think it's been more productive than their offense. The computers like their defense more than their offense. I do think that their defense is ahead. Now, if you're so through six games, to me, it's pretty clear that the defense is ahead of the offense. Now, if I were to predict going forward which side of the ball is going to be better, there's some areas where I notice on the defensive side that I have some questions about. I wonder how they're going to fare going forward, where the offense, I think they've kind of played to their floor. I feel like the offense has played to their floor. I think their ceiling's way higher than they've shown, and I think we've seen bits and pieces of it. Yes, you've ran the ball well twice against two bad teams and both times with Mixon, but I think Mixon improves the running game. I think whenever Nico Collins was doing his thing, and really Stephon Diggs was doing his thing, you weren't seeing the most out of Tank Dell. You haven't seen anything out of Dalton Schultz. If you get that all clicking, and you also have to improve on the offensive line. And I do think you're starting to see slow but surely the offensive line getting a little bit better and better and better. So the offense, I think, has played closer to their floor, has a lot more room to go. The defense, I think, is on the other side where they've kind of played kind of close to their ceiling, and I don't feel like there's a whole lot of room for them to go up. Through six games, defense, but going forward, I actually trust the offense more than the defense.
I think this is why they're in such a good spot, because they haven't peaked on either side of the football, and I think that there is some guys that are going to make this. You talk about Autry. We talk about the fact that you're going to get Christian Harris back, you assume, at some point, and that is going to help your linebacking core get better no matter how good Tuo has played. I think the fact that you played without Lassiter last week, and the fact that you're going to get him back at a certain point, that the defense still has room to grow and get better. But offensively, if you get a steady dose of Mixon the rest of the year, mm-hmm. and you get Nico back to go with now Tank being more of the Tank that we were used to and expecting to see all season long, And like you mentioned, from a line perspective, look, I think that's where you chalk one of those up, where you play like a scrimmage game, getting ready for the regular season, and to build confidence. Your line should come out of that game thinking, hey, we've got everything worked out. We feel good, and carry some momentum into a tougher part of your schedule. The bigger thing is, from a defensive perspective, is the teams you still haven't played. Because you are going to play a juggernaut of offensive teams that are going to put points on the board, and that they have a ton of weapons, and they have outstanding quarterback play, to where I think from that point alone, you're going to look at and say, the offense going forward very well could surpass the defense.
I think that it will. I think that it will. Like, I have more long-term concerns about the defense than I do the offense, and we'll get to those here in a little bit. I think that if this team is going to make a deep playoff run, I'm less concerned about the offense than I am the defense. Because I think that you can get by with this defense, and obviously you've done pretty good, third in defensive yards per game, second in defensive DVOA. But I think it's some of the better teams in the league that can really expose where you're weak. I'll talk about that in a little bit. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Angel, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Yeah, hey, what's up, man?
Just chilling. What about you?
Yeah, hey, I just want to talk about the offensive defense. Hey, so I think, in my opinion, I believe the defense has been playing better. Uh-huh. Just for the simple fact that when we played the Vikings, our offense got shut down. But in today's league, it's an offense game. So if you don't have an offense, like, what do you expect, you know? If you don't have an offense, you can't really compete in this league and make it to playoffs. You can have a good offense and a bad defense and still compete at a top level. So I believe our defense has been playing better than the offense just slightly, just like the Vikings game. We got shut down. But another game we're about to have is against Green Bay Packers. I feel like that game will determine who's playing better, our offense or our defense. But so far, I believe our defense has been playing great, better than the offense overall.
Appreciate the call, Angel. Look, I think the game this week, as we talked about yesterday, is going to be a really good barometer at this point in the season for both teams. I think that the Packers are still trying to find their identity in a lot of ways, and they're very similar in a mirror image in a different conference of a team that's they lost their quarterback. They didn't lose Nico Collins, but they're trying to figure out, with all the receivers they have and trying to get a new running back in the system and making sure their line is right. They have questions. They're trying to figure out. It's a great barometer to measure up. Where do we sit? And from a Texans perspective, now you take a step up. This isn't the Patriots anymore. If you're still able to run the football, if Joe Mixon is able to have success, then it didn't matter if it was the Colts or the Patriots. It's more on you were able to do as an offense what you needed to do, and that you provided the balance to make sure that your offense had the ability to do whatever they want to do. If you have success against really good corners and a good secondary in Green Bay, now you don't have to worry about it being, oh, the Colts and the Pats defense suck. No, it's the fact that your passing game is on point, and that's why the numbers are legitimate. And it sets you up for, hey, we can't wait till the rest of the season because we can compete with anybody.
Offense or defense? We'll get Brian's thoughts on the other side. We'll get your thoughts, too. Also, film don't lie. Film don't lie. I was up watching the All-22. There's some things, good things, a lot of really good things, but some really bad things, too. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a moment for Vanderford Air. VanderfordAir.com is where you need to go to see all the services that they offer that they can do for you. And they do so many things. They do plumbing. They can do a complete repipe. They do a dehumidifying system that can be right there within your AC unit in your house to take care of your entire house instead of putting the little dehumidifiers in certain rooms. They do the HVAC and the AC repairs and replacements. And the main thing is you need to lock their number into your phone, because when you need a service company, you need a service company that backs up everything they do. They put everything that they do in writing. They make sure that you have everything that you need, and they make sure that they're there when you need them, and that even after the job is done, they back up 100% everything that they do. That's why I speak for Vanderford Air, because they do all those things and so much more. By the time you call them, they're going to tell you 24 hours or less after you call them, they're going to be there to see you. You don't want to hear about all the other customers that are in line. You don't want to hear about how backed up they are in terms of people that need them. You just need to know that your problem is going to be addressed. That's the first guarantee. 24 hours after you call them, they'll be at your door. And then the process really gets even better than that. When they address your problems, they go over and tell you, this is what it's going to cost to fix it with the part. This is what it's going to cost to replace the system. Two different written estimates that you will have in your back pocket, and they let you choose. Once you choose, guaranteed that their workers are going to do the job right the first time, and they're going to do outstanding work. That the parts and or the systems that they put in are going to work exactly to the specs that they're supposed to by the manufacturer, and they're going to please you in the way that you anticipated when you had them do the job. The fact is, everything they do is 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, and that's so tough to find in today's day and age when you're talking about service companies. That's why I encourage you to lock their number in your phone, save it for whenever you're going to need it, or maybe call them and have your system checked before it's too late. 281-557-COOL. It's really that simple. You call them, they'll come out and see you within 24 hours, and then the process goes from there. Check them out today, VanderfordAir.com or 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.